Stories of Great Christians. From its radio studios in Chicago, the Moody Bible Institute greets its friends everywhere with Chapter 6 of A Gambler Becomes a Preacher, the transcribed story of Anton J. Gillies.
On his first day in the Russian capital, St. Petersburg, Anton Gillies watched as thousands of workers marched in protest against Tsar Nicholas. Although it hardly seems possible, 2 years have passed since that tense moment. Anton is made good in the city. Now, laden with gifts and success, he has returned to the farm for a visit with his mother and brother Michael. While glancing over the St. Petersburg newspaper Anton brought along, Michael discovers an announcement by the Tsar's royal forces that all youths, 18 and over, are to be conscripted into the army. As we shall soon learn, this becomes a significant event, shaping the future of Anton Gillies.
Oh, there.
Whoa. Well, this is a pleasure. I haven't seen my nephew for many months. How are you, Anton?
Well, just fine, Uncle Peter. It's good to see you, too.
Oh, that's good.
Uncle Pete, I wanted to talk with you, if you can spare the time.
Well, now, when it comes to time, I always have plenty of that. At least that's what Martha says. I have a lunch Martha packed for me, since I still have some work to do in the fields. Might be enough for both of us. Care to join me?
Sure.
Just leave your horse and wagon there. No one will bother it. Here, let's sit under this tree. It's been a warm day.
Yes. The shade now, feels good.
Uh-huh. Now, what was it you wanted to talk to me about, Anton?
Well, I'd like your advice. This business about the conscription.
Oh, I see. You don't know what to do?
Well, I'd planned to go back to St. Petersburg.
Uh-huh.
I've been quite fortunate there in my work.
Yes.
But if I go back now, I'm quite certain of being drafted.
Of course.
And if I stay here, well, there are bound to be problems with Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Already he suggested to me that I ought to make up my mind one way or another.
Probably said something about your leaving when things were difficult and then returning when everything was all right, I guess.
As a matter of fact, he did.
It's understandable.
Well, if I stay, I'd probably be drafted anyway. That is, in time.
And you don't want to go into the army?
Not particularly. Not the Russian army, at any rate. I don't consider it my army or protecting our people in any way.
Of course, we all feel that way, Anton.
And besides, there's talk of war with Japan. And there's no reason for it.
From what I hear, the Tsarina is urging it upon her husband.
We've heard the same. What should I do, Uncle?
You no longer want to enter the church.
The church? No.
I was thinking that theological students might be exempted, or you could marry.
I don't want to avoid the issue by either of those ways.
Why not leave for some other place, then, outside of Russia?
I hadn't thought of that exactly.
I have a son in America, you know, your cousin. He likes it very much.
Oh, but America is so far.
But it's safe once you get there.
What do you mean?
Since conscription is beginning, you'd never get a passport to leave the country. You would have to escape secretly.
I see. Well, is it expensive?
Not too much. There's much work in America, you know. Do many things until you learn the language, and then, from what my son tells me, the sky is the limit. Education, opportunities are many.
I must think about this. Perhaps this is the solution.
Mm-hmm. Do you know the boy called Charles in the next village?
Yes, I remember him from school.
Well, if you should decide to go, talk to him. I happen to know he wants to leave Lithuania, too. Might be able to go together.
Thank you, Uncle. You've given me new hope.
Just one thing, Anton. You'd better not tell your mother that you spoke to me. She would never forgive her brother for suggesting that her son leave her to go so far.
Anton! Anton, are you in here?
Right over here, Michael.
Oh. It's late.
I know.
What are you doing?
Well, the rim on this wheel is slipping off. I'm trying to fix it.
Oh. Can I talk to you a minute?
Sure.
I've heard you're planning to go to America.
Well, I'm thinking about it. Hope the whole village doesn't know it, though. The police could find out.
Well, I don't think anyone else knows. I saw Uncle Pete at the market today. He said I should ask you about it.
Oh?
You'll, need money, won't you?
Some.
I have a proposition to make.
Oh? What is it?
I was talking to a lawyer today, and he drew up a paper. It concerns the farm and the land.
I see. You're still afraid I'll take a part of it, huh?
No, Anton. It's just that we should have an agreement. It's more businesslike.
Michael, I don't want the land. Father left it to you.
But we are to agree on that ourselves.
So we're agreed.
If you'll sign this document, I'll give you 250 rubles.
Hmm. Well, what's in the document? Well,
just a statement that you'll hold no claim to the land or the farm.
Well, that sounds fair enough. I can use the money, all right.
Then you'll sign?
Well, will you let me look at that document? I'll let you know tomorrow.
Oh, sure. Keep it as long as you like. It's a good document.
You're something of a lawyer, Uncle. What do you think?
No, you flatter me, my boy.
Well, you represent lots of the farmers in court.
Yes, so I do. Well, let me look at that document. Michael saw a lawyer, huh?
So he said.
It's to me like it's well written. Very simple. Concise. You agree to waive all claims to the homestead. That's about it, I guess.
That's what Michael said.
I thought Michael would do something like this. That's why I told him you were leaving. What consideration is he giving you for this?
Well,
you can tell me. I won't say a word to anyone.
250 rubles.
How old are you, Anton?
20.
20. So, it doesn't matter what you sign.
I don't understand.
You're still a minor. Nothing you would sign would be binding in court.
So, it wouldn't hurt me to sign?
Of course not. You could even change your mind. And, in the meantime, you're 250 rubles richer. Understand?
I think I do. Well, thank you, Uncle.
So once again you leave us, Anton. This time for a very far country.
Well, perhaps it won't be for too long, Mother. Once I've made some money, I'll return.
But it will be many years. I may not be here then.
Don't talk that way. Of course I'll see you again, Mother. Now, you haven't even met Charles. He's going with me, you know.
How are you, Charles?
Just fine, ma'am.
Are you all prepared for your journey?
I hope so. We're not taking much with us.
I understand you may have difficulty in crossing the frontier.
No, I don't think we'll have too much trouble. The border is not well guarded.
Will you have enough food?
Mother has prepared this basket of food for us, Charles. It'll probably last us until we get to America.
There's not too much there, Anton. Just some cheese and black bread. Things that won't spoil on your long journey.
Thank you, Mother.
I won't be able to go to the station with you, Anton. I'm not feeling too well.
It's a long journey to the station, Mother. Perhaps it's better this way.
So this is farewell, son. I shall miss you. I didn't feel nearly as bad when you only went to St. Petersburg. America is such a distant land, so strange and unknown to us.
I'll be thinking of you always, Mother.
Whatever you do, son, don't forget God. You had a good upbringing, and don't forget what you've learned.
Well, I won't, Mother. Goodbye.
Goodbye, son. And to you, Charles, God be with you. You'd better go now. Michael is waiting in the carriage.
We're approaching Vilkovishki's. I recognize it.
Have you been here before, Charles?
Once. We're only 20 miles from the border from here.
Well, I'll sure be glad to get off this train. 18 hours of these hardboard seats are enough for me. Man, we must be pulling into the station now.
It's the station, all right.
What do we do now?
Oh, find a hotel for the night, something near the station. Then we'll leave early in the morning on foot for the border. Some farmer is bound to give us a ride.
And we're to cross the border at night?
That's always safest, they say. People are coming through. We'd better get off ourselves.
All right, excuse me, please.
Here's your bag. Here's your bag, Charles. I'll carry the food.
Okay.
We may still need it. Mm-hmm. Where's my suitcase?
I don't know.
Oh, there it is.
Can you manage, Anton?
Uh-huh.
We'd better hurry. Easy with that basket now.
Sure. Are you all right?
There are more people than I expected.
Let's get going, Charles. I don't like it here. We're too obvious.
No, there's nothing to worry about.
Watch out, Charles. Two gendarmes are coming.
What?
All right, boys. Step over here, please.
What is the meaning of
this? Just a routine check. Do you have identification papers?
Here. Here are mine, sir.
And mine.
Search them, Sergeant. Oh, you're both under 21, huh? Why are you here?
We're here to see our relatives.
Oh? What's that, Sergeant? Oh, so, a letter. You're Charles, huh? You always carry letters from America? I'm afraid I must place both of you boys under arrest. I don't know why you think you can come this close to the border in broad daylight and not be apprehended. You're both young, carrying food and baggage. You both look very guilty. But it happens every day. Come on, let's go to the precinct station.
And so we conclude Chapter 6 of A Gambler Becomes a Preacher, a life story of Anton J. Gillies. Another in a transcribed series of Stories of Great Christians, which come to you from the radio studios of the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago.